We're continuing in our study of 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'll just, by way of reminder, just want to let you know that it is Communion Sunday. So if you missed the cups in the back on the way in, you're welcome to do that. You're welcome to go pick that up. We'll be taking communion after our service. But we are continuing our study of 1 Peter chapter 5. And the topic this morning is humility among God's people. And as I have been thinking and praying through this concept of humility, which is what Peter's going to talk about, I can't think of any better example than to look at the example of Jesus Christ. And so I actually want to start with a statement about the humility of Jesus, and that's found in Philippians chapter 2. So I would invite you to turn with me as we begin this morning to Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Paul lays out a call to humility for the church in Philippi, and he gives them some instructions, and he points them to what Jesus has done. So we're going to read together to start off this morning, Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. It says this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Here we have this example of humility. How Jesus, being in very nature God, fully, truly God. And here he is, creator of the universe, and his creation is suffering. Humanity has fallen into sin and is in need of redemption. And so he leaves the glory of heaven to walk upon the dust of the earth, to take on flesh, to take on the nature of a servant. And that word servant isn't strong enough. The word means slave, right? He takes on the activities, the nature of a slave, and he comes to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It says that he submits himself and he becomes obedient to death, even to die a shameful death on a cross. And because of that, God raises him up and sets him up as Lord over all. And with this in mind, we want to turn then to 1 Peter chapter 5 as we think about the way that God is calling us to be humble with one another. We'll read in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start with verse 1, if you'll turn there. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Now, we began reading this section a number of weeks ago. And about 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first side of this, and we saw that there's instructions to leaders and then instructions to the church. And we focused a couple weeks ago on the instructions to church leaders, the elders. we saw that the elders were those who exercise leadership, care. They watch over God's people. We saw a calling on their lives that they're to be willing and eager to serve. They're not doing it because they have to do it, or they're not doing it out of a desire to have financial gain, but rather they're to be an example, not to just be in charge and tell people what to do, but they're to be examples to those that God has placed them over. And now Peter shifts and he gives some instructions to those who are younger, and he addresses the whole group as well. And the focus here is on humility. And when we think about what it means to be humble, we see this first command is a call for submission, that God calls us to submit to the leadership that he has placed in the church. He says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit to your elders, right? So we have this group of people, the elders, who are exercising leadership, and this instruction to those who are young that they should line up under that leadership, that those that are under leadership should be inclined to follow and to submit to their leaders, because their leaders are working for their good, they're working for their benefit, they're caring for them, and they're to line up under that. As their leaders sacrifice and serve, they're to be recipients of that. They're not to resist or complain or cause trouble. And the focus here, there is, and this command is addressed to those who are younger. And I got to think, like, well, why is that? You know, like, what is it? What is the deal? And it probably has something to do with younger people tend to be the ones who look at the older people and go, they don't really know what they're doing. Like, I got an idea. I got a new idea. Have you ever had a kid come up to you and be like, hey, I got an idea? And you're like, oh, no, here we go, right? Like, because a lot of times, like, I've just noticed that those who are younger, it's not that they have nothing to offer. They have a lot to offer. There's a lot that those who are older can learn from those who are younger. But there tends to be a lack of experience, a lack of understanding of what the whole situation might be. And so Peter is just encouraging them, hey, pay attention to your leaders and line up under their leadership. We see this kind of encouragement in other places in Scripture. For example, we see it in Hebrews 13. There's this encouragement. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do so that their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And this instruction to submit to the leader's authority, because they have to answer to God for what they're doing. And so God has placed this order in the church, and he's put people, he's given responsibility to a group of people to have oversight and care, and we are to line up under those leaders. We see it again in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, he talks about a specific group of people as he's, you know, given encouragement in ending his letter. He says, you know that the household of Stephanus were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it, right? So there's this group of people who's devoted themselves. They've been committed to serving God's people, and Paul is saying, hey, you need to submit to them. You need to line up under them and not go against their authority, not resist their authority, but to help them. And the idea is that as you do that, there is benefit to you. There's blessing that overflows to you. And as I think about this, I'm going to just take a little aside and, you know, talk through some ideas of leadership and being discipled and following leaders and things like that, because I've found myself on different sides of this throughout the years, right? There have been times in my life, and there are still times now, where I am under authority. I have denominational leadership who make decisions and go certain directions with things they do with our denomination. I've been in places where I am under authority, under leaders in the church. And then I've been in places where I have authority, where I have responsibility for care and oversight. And thinking about this idea of submission, I was just trying to wrestle with like the practicalities of this, right? Like, how does this play out? And I want to be the first one to tell you, as a leader, as an elder in this church, as pastor, as a shepherd, I don't know everything. There are lots of things that that come to me, and they're like, "What should we do about this?" And my first response is like, "Your guess is as good as mine. I got no idea what to do." Like, hey, we can seek the Lord, and He'll answer us, because like He knows what He's doing. But there are some situations where I might not know exactly what to do. I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. Yet, as a leader, and I can say this for my fellow leaders here at this church, that we take our responsibility very seriously. We don't treat it lightly. The authority that God has given, that we have a job to care for you and to encourage you and to build you up in the faith, we take it seriously. And so we don't make decisions lightly. But one of the challenges of leadership, if you enter into leadership, you're going to be given responsibility to make decisions that are going to affect people that you care about. And sometimes you'll have to make decisions that will have a negative impact on the people you care about, but you have to make it because it is the right decision. And so this encouragement that Peter is giving, hey, you need to line up under the leadership that God has given, is an encouragement because there are times when hard decisions are made, and we may not like the outcome, we may not like what was done, but we're encouraged to stick it out together to see God do His work. And, you know, there are times when I'm going to make mistakes. There are times when leaders are going to make mistakes. We might look back at a decision and go, well, that was the wrong way to go. And then we have this responsibility to come before you and go, we tried this. We thought we were doing right, and it turned out it was a bad decision, and we're going to change this instead and do something different. Like, this is how we work together as we seek to serve the Lord. Another challenge, if you're in leadership, is that there are going to be times when you're misunderstood. There are times when you make a decision, and people from the outside, they don't have all the details. They don't have all like the scope of the problem in mind, and they might ascribe wrong motives to what you did. And you're like, hey, I'm just trying to do the right thing here. And then you get accused of doing something that's wrong. You're like, I just don't see it that way. And so there's this opportunity for misunderstanding. And we want to be at a place where we develop trust with one another. And I'm just talking about me and you, that's included, but among one another, where when someone does something and we don't get it, our first step isn't to make an accusation. It's not like, oh, they're a bad person, and they made this decision just for their own advantage so that they could get the what they want, and they didn't think about what I wanted. No, we don't want to go there first. We want to assume the best of one another. We want to be in a place where I know you well enough that I don't know, may not know why you made a particular decision, but I believe you were trying to do the right thing and working for the benefit of everyone. And vice versa, right? We want to be in a place where we look at our leaders and go, I trust them enough to know that they were doing their best. Maybe I don't agree with the decision, but they were at least trying to do their best. And there have been times when I have that I've experienced where people look at me and go, well, you're just doing what you want. It's a particular decision or situation didn't go the way that they wanted. They're like, you're just doing what you want. And I've had to say, actually, this is not what I want. Like, if I had my preference, I'd be doing this over here. But this is the best decision for the group. So it's not just about what I want. It's about what we think we need to do as a body of believers following Jesus so that we can best disciple people. And you'll experience all these different things as you walk through church life. You guys have experienced all these different things as you walk through church life. And yet there's this command here, instruction for leaders, that they're to be selfless and serving God's people, and the people under their care are to submit to them and trust them, that even though there might be decisions that are made, maybe we just don't have all the details, and we have to have some trust that they are looking after us. And I want to be a place where for myself and for the other leaders here, that we could say, follow us as we follow Christ. And I think that is the best, just godly way to do things, is we're trying our best to follow the Lord, to hear His voice, to see what He's doing, and to line up under Him. That, as we said last time, that He is the chief shepherd, and we are following Him, and the church does not belong to me or any other leader. It is His church, And we want to be in a place where I can say, follow me as I follow Christ. And those who are under spiritual authority, because I'm in that place sometimes with denominational leadership, right? I just submit because God has placed these people here. And again, it doesn't mean that everything they do is right. It doesn't mean that if there's sin, it doesn't need to be confronted. It absolutely needs to be confronted if there's sin. But there is this order that God has placed for the care of his people, and we are to operate within it, all right? So he calls the younger people to submission, and then he looks at the whole group, and he calls them all to serve one another with humility, all right? Look here with five. All of you, right? So he's not just talking to the younger. He's talking to the elders and the younger, the whole group. And he says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. This idea of clothe yourselves with humility. The picture here is you're putting on a garment, an article of clothing. And this word is closely related to the word that describes the apron a slave would wear as they got ready to do their duties, right? We all have this picture of, like, when you go out to a shop, you put on something so you're not covered in grease. You know, your regular clothes are protected by the apron that you wear. The people who cook in the kitchen, right, they put on an apron so that their clothes aren't covered in food stains and all that kind of stuff. Spill food on yourself, Agnes? You know how that, she's up here laughing, right? This picture of a garment that you would put on. And so the word is related to this idea of a slave's garment, and it's pointing to this idea of service, that we would take up a garment of service, that we would humble ourselves and look to the interests of one another, like we read in Philippians. This makes me think of the Last Supper, where Jesus, when he gets up, when they're around for the meal, he gets up, he takes off his outer garment, he puts on a towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. He takes on the job of a slave. The people in that time, they're walking around with sandals. It's dusty, it's dirty, there's manure everywhere. I mean, it's a filthy time to be living. And so the job of washing people's feet when they came into the house was the job of the lowest on the totem pole, the lowest slave. He's got to come, he's got to clean everybody up so they can sit down and recline at dinner, because you're not just sitting at the table, by the way. You're actually laying down, so your feet are in a particular direction towards people as you're laying around this table. And Jesus, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who is truly God, is willing to wash the feet of his disciples. And he says, I want you to do what I'm doing. If I, as your master, am willing to do this, I want you to do this for one another. Love one another in this way. So we're to serve one another. And then the rest of this speaks to how we operate in humility, because we are able to rely on God. All right? So we're going to look at the rest of what Peter says here. He tells them to clothe themselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Here he's quoting from Proverbs 3, verse 34. And he's pointing out the fact that we can humble ourselves, we can treat others as better than ourselves, because we can trust God to look after us. We can trust in God's favor. God opposes, or he resists or stands up against, those who are proud, those who are arrogant, those who think they've got it all together, those who believe that they're better than they actually are. God stands against those people, but he shows favor, or the word here is grace, right? God gives unmerited favor to those who are humble, that we can rely on God showing us favor, taking pleasure in us. God enjoys it when people are humble and he looks after them. He says that we can rely on God's power. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. All these ideas here are connected. And he gives them this command to be humble under God's mighty hand, right? So this is pointing to God's strength and how we need to rely on God's strength and not our own strength, that he can be trusted to work things out for our good, and we don't have to, like, work our way in there and go, like, well, I got to do it because I can't trust anybody else, and I don't think God's going to answer my prayer, and so I'm going to force my way and force my will, and I'm going to make it happen. Peter says, don't do that. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up. He says that we need to trust in God's timing. He says that he may lift you up in due time. In other words, God knows what he's doing. He will exalt his people. He will honor his people. And we need to be patient for what God is going to do. I remember being in a situation one time where I was just really distressed. Like, I did not have an answer for a particular problem. And it was just nerve-wracking. I was losing sleep. I was just kind of like stuck. God, I don't know what you're going to do here. And I had talked to a fellow pastor, talked to a friend about it. And as he prayed for me, one of the things he prayed has always stuck with me. And it's just, with every day, you're one step closer to seeing what God is going to do. And I've just kind of held on to that. Like, God, help me to trust you in your timing, not be so anxious that I have to get it done right now. And God, help me not to be impatient where I'm creating more problems. Help me to just trust you. And I think back to the story of Abraham, right? Remember in Abraham and Sarah, and they had no children, and yet God had promised that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, and Abraham's looking like, I got no kids. Like, what? How's this going to happen? And they get impatient, and what do? Well, Sarah says, well, you can have my slave woman. And so Abraham has a child with the slave woman. His name is Ishmael. And that creates all kinds of problems for that family, right? Like, bad idea, bad decision. There's now trouble in the house. They didn't wait on God's timing. And then finally God does give Sarah a son, Isaac, and there's conflict between both moms. There's conflict between the brothers. Like, it's a mess, right? All because he wasn't waiting on God's timing. And very often I can create lots of messes because I'm not patient waiting on God. So we need to trust his timing. Finally, he points to God's care for us. We can trust God's care. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, this in our translation is a separate command, but in the original, it's actually linked. It shows how you are to humble yourselves before God. You humble yourself by casting your anxiety or your worries or your concerns on him. Now, think about this. Like, in other words, what he's saying is our worry, our anxiousness, our concern can be motivated by pride. Like, we get to this place where we're so off and disturbed about a particular problem, we are thinking that we've got to solve it somehow. And instead, we need to humble ourselves and bring it to God and let him take care of it. Stop thinking that you have to solve it all. The answers don't have to come from you. Whatever it is that is weighing heavily on you, that is leading you to a place of worry, you can take that to God. You can throw it on him because he cares for you. And literally, it's really beautiful here. It says, it is a concern for him for you, right? Like, God is concerned about that thing too. God cares about that thing that you care about. And I just love the way that God loves us, right? Because how often do I think, well, if I care about this, God cares about this too. Like, that should set our hearts at ease, right? Like, If it's bothering me, then God knows it. And God has promised to care for me. So I'm just going to take it to him, right? And this is also a quote from Psalm 55. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And I think that this is all connected, right? This command to submit yourselves to your elders, to clothe yourselves with humility, to humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Like, there are times in my life, I know, where I've been under leadership and I've thought, I don't know, I don't like the way this is going. And God has brought this verse to mind and said, cast your care on me because I care for you. What is your concern? And so let's not part these out and separate them, but to read them as a collective whole, that we can trust and rely on God, his favor, his power, his timing, and his care. As I think through this passage and all the different implications for my life, this has been a touchstone passage for me. It's something that I continually go back to. And I just want to share a personal testimony this morning about God's work and God's care and God's timing. Hopefully that would be an encouragement for you. And please understand that this is in no way, shape, or form like a pat on my back. I'm not trying to put myself up there as the ultimate example or whatever. But God has used this passage to transform my life and to work in me. And hopefully by sharing this story, it might give you an encouragement that God might do the same for you. I remember, I can't count all the way back. What are we talking? 13, 14 years ago, as I was serving in the church and serving under pastors Andy and Brenda, and since God leading me to continue as pastor of this church after they retire, and thinking about what that might look like, and you know, how is it that I'm supposed to lead? What's that supposed to look like? And we see with the instructions to the elders there, but in that time I was not, you know, lead pastor or senior pastor or anything. So I was just here to serve and help the leaders that were here at the time. And yet I knew that their retirement was coming. They were working hard to see that I was installed in their place. They were training me up. They were teaching me. They were doing their best to disciple me. And as that time approached, we have a process with our denomination where it is the denomination's job to appoint pastors of churches, right? So it's not a congregational vote. It's not up to anybody else other than the leadership of Foursquare to appoint a pastor at a church. And so Andy and Brenda had gone to the district leadership. They had talked about their retirement. They had talked about a desire for me to be able to continue on as pastor of the church. And the leadership came in with a particular plan in mind. And that plan was that, well, they knew that I was here, but I was like 25 at the time. Who's this young guy? We don't know if we're going to hand this church, the care of this church, over to him. But, you know, he might be in the mix, and we'll call in some people. We'll do some interviews. Maybe some people will come and preach. There'll be this whole process of kind of like interviewing other pastors to see what, you know, God might want to do in this place. And I remember at that time being encouraged by some people to go to the leadership and just kind of make friends with them. You know, we'd go to conferences and it would be like, hey, Brandon, make sure you go introduce yourself and, you know, spend some time with them and whatever. And that's just, honestly, that's not me. Like, if I had my preference, I'd be sitting back there with French. You know, like, that's kind of just my personality. And many of you, when I say, like, I'm an introvert, you go, no, you're not, but because I stand up here every week. But my bent, this is a learned skill. Pray that the Holy Spirit uses me. But my natural tendency is just, I'll go hide in the back somewhere. And so, like, I'm not going to go rub elbows with the leadership. You know, that's just not me. I'm not going to do that. And God had me in this passage, right? You were to humble yourself. And you trust me, and in due time, I'll put you where you need to be, right? So I was like, all right, whatever that is, Lord, I just want to do that. I want to serve, and I want to humble myself, and whatever. So they come in, they have this thought process, they're talking to leaders here and whatnot. And as time goes on, and they meet with me, they talk with me and whatnot, they're still talking about bringing candidates in and whatever. And eventually, I get a phone call in the middle of this. And they say, hey, we've all been thinking and we've all been like really praying about this. And we were going to bring in other people and interview them and all this kind of stuff. But we've actually decided that as we've been praying, God says, you're the guy that we're going to put here. And we're going to skip all that other stuff. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Like, because, you know, like, I was just waiting on what God was going to do. And that's what he did. Like, I didn't have to force my way into it. I didn't say, God told me to be the pastor of this church and you're going to listen to me and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's not what's required. Because God just opened the door. And they were, like, honest, too. They were like, you know, we're going to bring in some people. They're going to look a lot better than you. They're more experienced. They're older. Like, you know, they're going to be maybe more attractive in a particular way, but we think God's saying that you're going to be here. And I just got to watch in that whole process as God orchestrated and spoke and moved. And what I'm saying is God can do that for you. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that you're concerned about, whatever it is that he's laid on your heart to do, just trust him and rely on his timing in his favor, in his care, because he will lift you up in due time. This is a promise for us. As we think about how we are to be humble toward one another, we see that God is calling us to humble submission and service in his church. That God places each person in his church so that the body might be built up. And so whatever your role is, whatever your skills are, whatever your gifts and your talents are, submit yourselves to one another and serve one another. And then demonstrate your humility by trusting in God, God's favor, God's power, God's timing, and God's care. Like, we don't have to be God. Let him be God. We don't have to make sure all the pieces are in order and make it just so that we get, you know, the outcome that we're looking for. No, we just trust God to do what he's going to do. He can take care of it himself. He made the universe. It's under his control. Like, relax. It'll be just fine if you trust him. We see these instructions to elders, to the younger, to the whole body, that we are to humbly come together and seek God's face and allow him to move among his people so that he receives all the glory. That should be our heart. That should be our desire. So would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I want to thank you for a time of study. Lord, that we can see what you're calling us to. God, I pray that you would give us a boldness and a confidence in you, that whatever it is that you're saying to do, Lord, that we would step out in faith and act, that we would love and serve and sacrifice as you call us, Lord, to sacrifice, that we would follow the example of Jesus, that even though we might be in a place of comfort, that we would be willing to take on the nature of a servant, of a slave, that we would be obedient to you wherever you lead, and God, that we would trust you to exalt us and to bring honor and to lift us up in your timing. God, I pray for your power and your grace in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.